Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome to all our listeners to America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio. As usual, we have Beth and Steve with us. And for those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America. It also takes in the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and our inland rivers. Our association was formed to put together a group of people that share a sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. There's loads of free stuff on that site, and we'd also love for you to become a member. And don't forget, registration is now open for our very popular fall rendezvous. Our co-hosts this week are Carol and Richard Nick. There's been lots of chatter in our discussion forum lately on going in or out of the waters in the New Jersey cruising area. Carol and Nick will talk about your options and things to do and see on the New Jersey coast. They'll also throw in a little bit of information on cruising Delaware Bay. Richard and Carol, why don't you begin and just start where you'd like.
Okay. Thank you very much for that kind introduction, Janice. Carol and I are the harbor hosts, and this is Richard speaking, obviously. I have the deeper voice. Carol and I are the harbor hosts of Cape May, and we've enjoyed that role over the past several years. We have a condo and keep our boat at the eastern terminus of the Cape May Canal at Canyon Club, and we've boated these waters probably for the last 12 years.
What's the most challenging part of the waters in your area, Richard?
The most challenging is going to be the intercoastal waterway through New Jersey and going out into the ocean. But we'll talk about all of that in 2 seconds.
Okay, we basically start, if you would just do me a favor, at our spring rendezvous, a lot of people got very nervous about Delaware Bay. What's your experience with the bay, and how bad and choppy are the waters?
Okay, the Delaware Bay is relatively shallow in relation to the ocean. So what you do have is you have the waves coming in off of the ocean and working their way up the bay. But what will happen is you have the river, which is tidal. So at times, Janice, you can find yourself in a situation where you've got the tide coming in, the river going down, as well as the wind behind you coming out of the north. And that can get pretty choppy. But if you're fortunate enough to be on it when the tide is going out, the wind is coming out of the north, you can pick up anywhere from 4 to 5 knots coming down the river. The river has a wide channel to it, and that channel is used by ocean-going vessels that go up to Philadelphia, over through the C&D Canal. And they move along relatively quickly and do throw out a fairly significant wake that's not noticeable. But you can travel down the outer edges of the channel, and that's fine.
Do you need much experience to be able to handle Delaware Bay, or can a novice boater do it?
Oh, a novice boater can do it. Just, you know, the individual has to be prudent and watch the direction of the wind and the tide.
Okay. I'm assuming you've done it often.
We have. We've done it quite frequently because we go up to the C&D Canal to go over to the Chesapeake, which is one of our cruising grounds.
I see. Fantastic. Now, again, we've had a lot of different chatter on what depth you need to get through the intracoastal in New Jersey and what your draft can be or what you should look for to go outside in the ocean. How do you make the decision?
Okay. Well, actually, the intercoastal waterway of New Jersey is, there's a debate as to who owns it, as to whether or not, in fact, the federal government has it or the state of New Jersey has it. So as a result,
really?
Nobody's spending any money on it. It's about a 117-mile waterway that runs from Cape May to Brielle, New Jersey. And once you get to Brielle, you have to go outside for about 25 miles in order to get to New York Harbor. Along the way, there are 11 bridges, one of which is in the Cape May Canal, that are less than 15 feet. The bridge tenders monitor Channel 13. And the draft of the boat that you use, I would not recommend anything much more than 3.5 feet. Because it is not well maintained and because it is tidal, and we have 5-foot tides around here, people do run aground quite frequently. The charts are not necessarily accurate because they're not kept up to date with the shoaling. So I would strongly suggest that, you know, unless you've got a 3.5 foot draft, not to travel it. Certainly somebody with a full keel on their boat, that makes it a lot easier. So when you approach the soft ground, the soft bottom, you know, you don't start dinging up propellers. But as I mentioned, the bottom is soft, and it is easy to get off of. But having said that, both CEO and Boat US, I think, make a substantial amount of money off of the waterway.
When high tide comes in, how much water do you have?
I'm sorry?
When high tide comes in, how much water do you have?
You will add about 5. High tide here adds about 5 feet.
So it's
roughly about 8 feet deep.
Okay, so that's doable.
But again, that varies depending upon what kind of shoaling has taken place.
Uh-huh.
Going inside is a slow winding process. It's somewhere around 25 to 30 miles longer than going up up the ocean side. And if you pick
I didn't realize it was that much longer. That's significant.
Yeah, and if you pick the right day, even in a slow boat, you can make it up to New York on the outside in 3 days. You can go from Cape May to Atlantic City, which is about 37 miles, and then up to, from Atlantic City to Manasquan is about 52, and then Manasquan to New York, into New York Harbor is about 45 miles. So it is not a bad trip. You don't have to go far into the ocean. If the wind is blowing out of the south, it can be a very nice ride. If the wind is blowing out of the north, you stay put, north or northeast.
It is 3 full days, though.
You know, on a slow boat, it's 3 days. Carol and I, our boat's a little faster. We do it all the time in a day, or less than a day, actually.
Yeah, you know the weather up there. What are the chances of getting 3 good days in a row to do the ocean?
Well, they're pretty good. When you get to the springtime, you get into June and that, you can get 3 good days easily.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And most of these places are not bad to stay. And Atlantic City is not a bad place to stay. Cape May is not a bad place. I'd like to be able to later on talk a little bit about Cape May, or
sure,
talk about it. But they are not bad places to stay. there are a lot of things to do.
Steve's going to jump in with a question.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
You mentioned, what, 11 bridges on the intercoastal that are 15 feet?
Sorry,
11 bridges.
Oh, yes, there are 11 bridges less than 15 feet.
Are they all fixed?
No, they are not fixed. Those 11 bridges will open. The dilemma you will be faced with, I think there's, I forget the exact number. There are a lot of bridges along the intercoastal, but only 11 are less than 15 feet. But, again, depending upon the time you hit them, you may have to wait.
That's as bad as going down to Florida where there's all the bridges.
Well, nobody said the New Jersey Intercoastal was a piece of cake. Jersey is the most crowded state in the union, and we have a lot of commuters and people going back and forth. And as a result of that, you know, these bridges don't always open during rush hour and open on schedules. In fact, at the
demand.
Go ahead.
Is it demand or on schedule usually?
It depends upon where it is. The more popular ones are going to certainly be on a schedule. I don't know what the schedule is. We've not traveled the route, so we haven't spent a lot of time looking at schedules. Some of the ones that are more out of the way will be on demand.
Uh-huh.
But you can only imagine that during rush hours, they are on a schedule.
Carol, jump in anytime you want to add something, please.
Yes, I will.
We will.
Okay.
We'll start talking about Cape May. When we talk about the city, Carol will handle that.
Well, we're just about there. We basically have a good idea of what we're facing on the intracoastal and
okay.
what we're facing on the ocean. So what do we do once we get to Cape May?
Okay, let me just back up for one quick minute here.
Sure.
Canal is an easy canal to go through, but there are two areas of caution that people need to exercise. One is at the ferry terminal, which is on the western end of the canal. When they come in, they need to stay on the ferry terminal side of the canal. The ferries back up to pull out, they throw it in forward, and they build up mounds of mud on the southern side of the canal, so you need to stay away from those, which would be the starboard side as people come into the canal. So they need to stay away from that, and they will see if they come in at a time when there's traffic, they will see that all the traffic is against the ferry terminal. And then further on down the canal, after the first high bridge, there is a railroad bridge, which is always open, but only half of it is passable. So you've got traffic going in both directions through one half the bridge, and people just need to exercise caution there because there are fishing headboats that go in and out of Cape May Harbor, and they tend not to be willing to yield to pleasure craft. So some care must be exercised there.
Is it well marked, Richard?
I'm sorry?
Is it well marked?
Well, the canal is... The canal is the canal. It doesn't have to be well marked. The bridge is very visible, as is the ferry terminal. The ferry terminal, the last time we went through there, is not marked as to where you should be. So people do need to stay to their port side.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to talk a little bit about the inlets on the way up up the Atlantic side if people run on the outside?
Sure, that would be helpful.
Okay. There is the Absecian Inlet, which is at Atlantic City. There are two marinas in there that are usable. One is the Golden Nugget Marina, which is at the Golden Nugget Casino, used to be called Trump or the Farley State Marina. And that is a great place to stay because you're right next to the Golden Nugget Casino, you have shows, you have all the things that go on at casinos, and you have access to what's in Atlantic City are called jitney buses. And these buses will take you all over Atlantic City, down to the boardwalk, down to the other casinos, to shopping outlets for people who are so inclined. There is another marina on the opposite side of the harbor there called Hammersmith. And I know a fair number of people stay there because it's less expensive than the Golden Nugget Marina. But on the other side of the coin, it offers basically very limited services. You're out in a residential area, and it is a mile and a half walk before you can get to the boardwalk or the jitney buses.
Ah.
People who haven't been to Las Vegas or whatever, Atlantic City is a great place to stop and just see the oohs and ahs of what's going on. There is an anchorage there. We have not stayed in it, but there is an anchorage there that's on the north side of the inlet called Brigantine. There's also the Barnicot Inlet, which is a little further up. I would not recommend it. It is an inlet that tends to shoal, and it's best if you have to go in there that you have local knowledge. You can call CETO or Boat US, and they'll help you. There are fishing boats that run in and out of there, but generally speaking, it is not a good inlet. The Manasquan Inlet.
Barnicot?
Barnicot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The Manasquan River, which is further north, is a really nice inlet to go in and out of. It's easy, but it's busy. It's particularly busy on weekends. And there is a railroad bridge that can cause a backup in traffic. And even on weekends, it's horrendous. So it's a commuter railroad. So it opens and closes quite frequently. But one of our sponsors, Hoffman's Marina, is there. And they are an easy in and out and an easy place to get fuel. Further up, you can go to Atlantic Highlands Municipal Marina, which is around Sandy Hook, although if you're that close, you will probably wish to push on to New York City. I'd like to mention some of our other sponsors that we have along the way.
That would be fantastic. Thank you. That you will be encountering.
The first one that you encounter as you come out of the C&D Canal is Delaware City. They are to the north of the canal, and they are they're a sponsor, and a number of people have stayed there and been very, very happy with them. We have not stayed there because it's a little bit too close to Canyon Club for us and where we keep our boats, so when we come out of the canal, we just keep on going. The next one you would come to and when you come out of the canal is Canyon Club, and as you come out of the canal, out of the Cape May Canal, it is on your port side. It is the only marina that has a swimming pool and grass here in Cape May, and I know grass is important to some people, particularly those who have dogs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we have negotiated a special with Canyon Club for Looper members, and they will get a 20% discount on slip rentals and free electricity. There are two conditions that apply, however. One is you either have to have your AGLC membership card or be flying your Burgee in order to get the discount. And the discounts are not available during fishing tournaments. Canyon Club is a large sport fishing marina, and they don't need to give anybody discounts during their tournaments that they have here.
Sure.
Okay, the next marina is South Jersey Marina, which is affiliated with Canyon Club, although they are not giving any discounts. You can proceed through Cape May Harbor down to Marker 14, turn to starboard, and follow the channel down past the commercial fishing fleet. They are the closest to downtown. There is another marina here, which I know a lot of people have stayed at, called Utch's. They are not a sponsor. As you come out of the canal, you would turn starboard at Marker 16 and stay about 30 feet off of their wall. Canyon Club has the best service department around. They have a full-range facility. They have 20 highly skilled people. They can do all kinds of boat repairs. Both Canyon Club and South Jersey offer in-slip fueling and have floating docks. There are two other marinas on the way as you go up that are sponsors. One is Hoffman's Marina in Brielle. We mentioned him earlier. And the last one is the Newport Yacht Club, which is in Jersey City across from New York. And I imagine... I'm sorry?
You're just about to Manhattan at that point.
Yes, you're at Manhattan. Jersey City is straight across from Manhattan.
Right.
And what I'd like to do at this point in time is, I think we've talked about all of the navigational issues involved. I'd like to turn it over to Carol for a little while so she can talk about what's going on in Cape May.
That'd be great, Carol. Go ahead.
Now I get to talk about my favorite subject, the heart of Cape May. Cape May is a Victorian town built in the 1880s. It's a seacoast town where Philadelphians used to travel by steamboat. They felt that the salt air made them feel healthier, and they also were there for their recreation. But as the trains began to come to Atlantic City and other New Jersey resorts, Cape May's popularity sort of faded, and Cape May went into a cocoon. But the local residents decided to save the city, and a lot of these older houses became bed and breakfasts. So as these places were restored, the city became a national landmark. And along with these bed and breakfasts in the hotels came the great restaurants.
Ah.
Cape May likely has more fine restaurants for its size than any other city in New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cape May is also the East Coast's largest and fifth most valuable commercial fishing seaport in the U.S. So fresh fish is always available here.
I didn't realize that.
The Lobster House Restaurant is Cape May's most famous seafood restaurant. It's located next to Cold Spring Fisheries, and it gets its fish fresh daily. It can be found between South Jersey Marina and Utch's Marina. It's a must place to go. You can bring your dinghy there and tie up to the side of the restaurant, only if you plan to be there. You can't bring your boat and leave it there for the day.
How expensive is the restaurant?
It isn't. It's, I don't know, any $17, $19, $20. It's a very medium-priced restaurant. It's not one of those gourmet fancy restaurants.
That's great to know. That's reasonably priced.
Yes, yes. It's a wonderful place. If you want to come by dinghy, you just follow the directions to get to South Jersey Marina. And as you come around, you'll see a big green schooner attached to the back of the restaurant, and there's floating docks there that you can tie up to. And you go up the stairs, and you're right at the restaurant. But on summer weekends, they don't take reservations, so you will have to wait. But it's well worth the wait.
And it's okay to tie your dinghy up there for a number of hours?
If only to eat there.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Cape May has no dinghy docks. If you decide to anchor out, you're up the creek.
Literally.
Gladly. All right. When you get into town, there's something here called the Mid-Atlantic Center for the Arts. And it operates a wide variety of walking and trolley tours of the city. At the main Washington Street Mall, there's an information booth. And at that booth, you can get brochures. You can talk to the person inside about upcoming events. Right there, there's horse and carriage tours, which will take you past the homes. And the drivers of the carriage will give you a history narrative of the town. There's an 1880 house called the Emlyn Physic Estate. And that's the house that basically saved Cape May, and you can tour that house. On weekends, there's walking tours, which end with a brunch at the Mad Batter restaurant. And on Fridays, you can even attend the graduation ceremony at the Coast Guard base here. So there's a tremendous amount of stuff to do here. I mean, there's restaurant shopping. There's an Acme grocery store. There's a CVS.
So I was going to ask, what about provisioning? Is a good grocery store there?
Yes. Yep. There's banks, hairdressers, barbers, dentists, and even a day spa.
Ah.
You can rent
my kind of place.
You can rent surreys that will take up to 4 people. You can play miniature golf. You can see a play in 3 different playhouses. There's a West Marine. There's a liquor store, an urgent care center. And Rich has a note here. In New Jersey, you can only buy beer in a liquor store. A little different than some of the other states.
Really? That is surprising.
Enterprise has a car rental facility. And also, the Cape May Lewis Ferry that you passed coming in the canal, you can take that, and it will cross over the Delaware Bay, and you can take a day trip to historic Lewis, Delaware, which is a really interesting little town just on the other side of the bay. Let's see. There's a sunken ship in the Delaware Bay. There's a Cape May Lighthouse and a World War II submarine observation tower where you can climb to the top and look at both the Atlantic Ocean and the Delaware Bay. There's wineries you can tour. There's echo boat tours of the marshlands of Cape May Harbor. You can play 18 holes of golf. I can keep going on for hours here.
Carol, if we were planning a trip up the Intracoastal on the Great Loop, how long would you recommend we stay in Cape May?
Forever. I would say a good 3 to 4 days. There's so much here.
Uh-huh. Well, we need to close up pretty soon. If Steve has a comment he'd like to mention. Can you hold on for 1 second?
This goes to Richard's discussion about navigation. And as he was talking about that, it occurred to me that running the Atlantic Intracoastal Waterway through Georgia and South Carolina is very similar to what he described for Delaware Bay and the canal, the Cape May Canal, and the New Jersey Intracoastal Waterway. And that is, any of the inlets that we have are tidal, so you get the wind going the opposite way the current's going, it's going to kick up some waves. Janice and I never travel the Intracoastal Waterway except on a rising tide. It has to be mid-tide or better for us to even leave. So it's not, you know, where we've had people been taught to be afraid of Delaware Bay. The conditions that Richard described are no different than what we face every time we go out down here.
You learn to just time it with the tides, and you'll be fine. Carol, is there anything you'd like to mention before we close up that's a must see?
No, I think I covered it for Cape May. The only thing is, if you had a bicycle or a car, go up to Wildwood, the next town north.
How far is it?
It's about 5 miles from here.
Oh,
and
that's not far.
It's a huge 2-mile boardwalk, amusement rides, a quarter-mile beach. It's something most people don't see in their hometown areas.
No. You know, Steve and I spent 20 years in northern New Jersey, and we don't know that much about the shore, and it's so interesting to hear. It was so close to us, and we really never knew it very well.
I guess you need to come north once
you need
more.
To come again.
The voting in that area was rowboats.
just to wrap it up from our side, obviously we are in the AGLC directory, and
yes,
you can find our phone number and our email address there. And, you know, at the rendezvous, we did distribute some information on Cape May, list of restaurants. We sorted them out by, you know, ranging in price and other things that people might need here, doctors and vets and all kinds of other contact information. And if anybody would like a copy of it, who didn't get one, if they email me and they can get my address out of the AGLCA directory, we'll be happy to send them a file. So
Carol and Richard did a great job. They did a great job putting information together. It was gone so quickly at that rendezvous. Remember, there's a new search tool in our Harbor Host Lookup. All you have to do is put in Cape May, New Jersey, and you will get a list of the Harbor Hosts, and Carol and Richard will be right up there. And I know they love to see you, so don't be hesitant. Carol
right.
and Richard, I think that's about it. Thank you so much for being on our blog radio show.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.